Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Revelations chapter 3 verse 14 to verse 22 is the scripture we are going to stay in, even as we look at the messages that our dearest Jesus gave to the seven Asia Minor churches. Now, these messages were given after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see in Revelations chapter 1, Jesus Christ glorified. And then from Revelations chapter 2, he speaks to his people. He is speaking to his people. I believe that what he said to the church then is relevant to us now. It is generally believed that this church we're going to speak about in Revelations 3:14 is a picture of the last day church. Various theologians agree to this, but whatever it is, whether it is the last day church or the early church or the medieval church or whatever, it is the word of the Lord. And we know that the word of the Lord is relevant to all of us today, not just the message to the last day church. Hallelujah. So I want us to open our understanding and listen to what the Bible says the Spirit is saying to the churches. This message opens in verse 14 like this: and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. The word angel is the word messenger. Okay, it is the word that is describing the leadership of the church of the Laodiceans. Laodicea was a city in Asia Minor. So the message is first of all to who? The leader of a local church, which is described as the church of the Laodiceans. I love it. Anytime I read in the Bible, and the Bible seems to use a geopolitical name to describe the church of God. So, unlike our cases where we have maybe our church's name that hasn't got to do with the geopolitical setting in which the church is, if you read in the Bible, the church of Corinth, Corinth was a city. It's not a special name. The church of Ephesus. Ephesus was a city, and the church was founded there. So you see that in the early church, the Bible uses geopolitical descriptions to describe the church of God. It doesn't use names like our own church, PWC. That has nothing to do with the place where we are geographically. But you see all throughout the Bible, God likes to associate his church with where they are. The question is why? The reason is simple. It is because God wants us not to be moved away from where we are. We are a separated people. Yes, we are. But we are still in a geopolitical environment. And God wants us all the time to remember the needs of the environment in which we are. He doesn't want us to be a church that is so thinking about heaven in such a way that we don't associate and we don't link up to the needs of the people in which we are founded. Hallelujah. It is important for us to get this, because Jesus Christ will describe his church as the church of the Laodiceans, the church of maybe the Ghanaians, or the church of Africans, or the church of Sekendi, the church of Takoradi, the church of Accra, the church of New York, the church of Abidjan. You know, it's wonderful. He wants us to be concerned about the environment in which we are. Wonderful. And I want us to understand, moving on, that the message is not just to the leadership of the church. It is to the local assembly of the Laodiceans, the church which is there. The church is talking about believers who are in Laodicea. And then, if you look at the very last verse, verse 22, Revelation 3, says that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. So, it is to the leadership of the church, it is to the local church, and then it is to all churches. Wonderful. So, I want us to just understand that God chooses to put his word over everybody. He puts his word over the leader. He puts his word over the membership, we will call it now, over the individual saints, and he puts his word over the churches. So there is nobody who is above the word of the Lord. It is important for us to get this, because as we gravitate towards the end, if you don't take care, you will get to see that some people are so special that they can be above the word of God. They can choose to do what they like, which is not in tandem with the word of God. It is not so. Jesus, the word of God, is exalted above every man. Isn't it wonderful leadership? Isn't it wonderful pastors like myself? For us to understand that God wants his church, individuals in his church, from the leadership to who we will call the least person, to be subject to the word of God. Nobody is above the word of God. God wants us all to succumb to the word of God, humble ourselves to the word of God in equal manner. Hallelujah. This is for my fellow pastors. He says that this thing says the Amen. In that verse, Jesus Christ is giving a description of himself before he starts to talk to them. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What does it mean? These things says the Amen. He begins on a positive note. He begins talking to the church and making the church realize that in him is Amen. Actually, he says that his name is Amen. Amen just means certainty. Amen just means that it's a reality. Amen just means that it is practical. This sin says the one who makes everything certain in our lives. This sin says the one who makes everything practical, who makes the word of God real and practical. It becomes flesh in our everyday life. By the blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the promises of God, which could not come to pass in our lives, by the blood of Jesus, even as we realize that Jesus Christ shed his blood just to be able to let the word of God practically come to pass in our lives, even if we do not deserve it. When we realize this thing, ladies and gentlemen, every word of God is coming to pass in your life. Whether it's a promise of his presence, a promise of protection and preservation, a promise of possibilities, a promise of prosperity, a promise of peace and tranquility, whatever promise of purity that God has got for you, Jesus says that I am Amen for you. I'm going to speak something to you, and I want you to understand that I am Amen. I am the one who is going to bring it to pass in your life. I am capable of bringing it to pass in your life. Hallelujah. Never should we say that, well, this word is for some people. It is not for me. I'm an ordinary church member. Never should we say that, well, I was born in this village. I do not have this kind of exposure, so this word cannot be true for me. I came to tell us today, the church of the Lord, that God says that Jesus is the Amen. His name is called Amen. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, the Bible says there was a book in the hand of God, and there was no one found worthy to take the book from his hand and to look upon it, let alone to open the book. This book, I believe, is talking about the word of God that must be made practical, that must be made real on it. And so the Bible says that John, the prophet and apostle, began to cry. And an angel came to tap him and to say to him, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book out of the hand of the one who sits upon the throne and to open the seals. And the Bible says, I beheld and I saw a lamb as it were slain. The Greek word is butchered, a lamb that had been butchered. He came and took the book out of the hand of God the Father, and he began to unveil what is written in the book that must be made practical and real in the earth in this end time. He began to unveil the thing. That is what I came to tell you about. That Jesus Christ, by the blood, because he was slain, because he was butchered for us, all of the promises of God that could not land upon the Old Testament saying that you read about in the Word of God, the Bible says that he has prevailed and our weeping should be over. They are believers who cry and they wonder, when shall this thing become reality? When shall the church enter into this glory that is promised to us? When do I experience this kind of kingdom living that God says that he wants us to taste of in this earth? I came to assure you that the blood of Jesus Christ is able to break the seals of the word of the Lord and to unveil it. He says, I am Amen. I am the person who can make things real in your life, who can make the word of God practical in your life. So we have to understand the positive note with which the scriptures start. When Jesus Christ is addressing his churches, what we call today the last day church, he says that I am the Amen. I am the one who will bring it to pass. The faithful and the true witness. I love it. The faithful and the true witness. Jesus Christ does not go about talking about some powerful positions. All that he talked about was that he was faithful. He was using virtues. He said, I am the faithful. He didn't say, I am God or whatever thing. He says, I am faithful. I am the true witness. I'm not a false witness. I am a sincere witness. Hallelujah. He is drawing our attention to something, that it is time for us, the church in this last day, to become practical, to become real, to look at the virtues of Jesus and to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Because these days, people like to talk about, I am prophet, I am apostle, I am archbishop. And everybody is striving and doing whatever they can to be called maybe something, a deacon or a worship leader or maybe a powerful name. But Jesus Christ says, look, what is important is that you are faithful. You are a faithful witness. What is important is that you are a true witness. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. He is bringing our lofty minds down to the practical, that faithfulness and being a true witness is key and is important for him in this last day. So let us learn to put aside infightings that we do because, well, it has to do with a position. And you have to be introduced in a certain manner. What is important is your functionality, how you are functioning, the kind of impact practically you are making on the geopolitical environment in which you are, in the church in which you are, in the workplace in which you are. Hallelujah. They may not call you a sofo, but you are the one who is helping them spiritually. Hallelujah. They may not point to you and say you are a leader, but you are leading from behind. Nobody sees you standing behind the pulpit, but you are leading. Hallelujah. You lead by your life and by your example. Says that I am the true and the faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. What does that one also mean? It means that Jesus Christ is the first. He is the prototype. He is the standard. He is talking to his church. He says, I am the standard. In this life, nobody is your standard. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that don't have mentors. I'm not saying that don't look up to any human being. But I'm saying to you that beyond the human being, look up to the prototype. Look up to the beginning of the creation of God. If you regard yourself as the creation of God, look up to the standard, who is Jesus. He says, I'm going to talk to you. I am the standard. By me, you measure your life. By me, you live your life. Not by your mentor. If your mentor made a mistake, it doesn't mean that you should also of necessity make the mistake. Hallelujah. If the people who were in the generation ahead of you, if they didn't do well, it does not mean that you too, you should not do well. Jesus did well. He is the one that we are looking up to. In this end time, it is important for us to understand that we should, beyond men, look up to God. I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, that don't respect your leaders. I'm not saying, because I'm a leader myself, I'm not saying that don't respect those who have gone ahead of you. That is not my message. I'm only saying that there is something that the prototype wants to show us. There is a kind of life that may not have been lived in a certain way close to you, that God says that you can blaze the trail, you can live that life, as long as you look to the prototype, the beginning of the creation of God. He is going to enable you. He is the amen. He is going to become real. You are going to be the true witness to that word of the Lord, that he died, that it becomes real and practical in your life. He says, I am the standard that you judge your life by.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. I know your works, verse 15 now, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, what the Lord Jesus is saying to us is quite heavy. Maybe I should begin it, verse 15, by teaching us that the word Laodicea in the Greek language, it means the people rule. Rule is spelled R-U-L-E. The people rule, or the people's judgment, or the people's decision. In other words, this church of Laodicea was religious in nature. Religion has got to do with man's judgment, man's understanding, man's decisions, man's way of going about a spiritual thing. That is the meaning of that city called Laodicea. It means that the people are deciding, the people are ruling. It is not the kingdom decision. It is the decision of men. Jesus Christ said to the Apostle Peter that, get behind me, you are an offense to me, because you are full of the things of men and not the things of God. So in life, you can be full of the things of men. That is religion. That is being a Laodicean. Or you can be full of the things of God. The things of God is talking about God's ways of going about it, the decisions of God, the value system of God, the judgments of God. Hallelujah. So look at it. He says in verse 15 and verse 16 that I know your works. What I know about your works is that it is religious. The last day church is going to have a struggle against religion, against man's way of doing some things, living your practical life right now, and then God's ways, God's understanding, God's decisions and judgments. You have to either fill your mind with the things of men or with the things of God. God says, I don't want you to mix, because you see, if you look at something that is lukewarm, which is neither hot nor cold, it is talking about deception. Because the thing is not cold, neither is it hot. It is like half-half. It is like half good and half bad. It is like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It has good and it has got evil. It is deceptive. It is confusing. It is man's ways. It gives birth to man's mentality. It gives birth to man's results. It gives birth to religion. Religion is the highest form of deception. When he says that I will spew you out of my mouth, he is talking about the fact that I detest religion. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came on earth, religion or deception was something that he decried all the time. He found out that religion was the chief enemy of the kingdom system, because the opposite of God's ways is not the devil's ways, it is man's ways, religious ways. So when Jesus Christ came, he didn't have a problem with the sinners. He will bless the prostitutes. He will bless the sinners. He will bless the murderers. He will bless the cheats. But he said, woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees. Who are the scribes and the Pharisees? They were the religious leaders. They were the front of religion. About 7 times or 8 times or so, in just one chapter, in Matthew 23, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Do you know who a hypocrite is? He is somebody who you cannot predict. He is somebody who is neither hot nor cold. He has something inside of him, but outside he is portraying something. He has something outside, inside he has a different thing. That is deception. That is religion. That is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God is saying that I do not like religion. Religion is against what I want to practicalize in your life. It's against the kingdom ways. It's against the things of God. It's against the mentality of God that he wants us to have. He said to Peter, you are mindful. Your mind is full. Mindful. Your mind is full of religion and not of the kingdom. Not of the things of God. Not of the ways of God. So the last day church, as we are, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be torn between these two, religion and the kingdom, religious ways and the kingdom ways. Jesus Christ died that the kingdom ways will become practical in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, he says, I don't like religion. Religion is deception. His bashing when he was on earth was against the hypocrites. Those who were religious, they were in church, but they use your own ways in church. I don't know whether I'm speaking to you. You may be in church, but use your own way. When God gave me the chance to go to the Holy Land to learn, I asked one of the people during the time that I was going on tour, I asked one of the people, where are the Pharisees? Where are the Sadducees? Because they were explaining to me the ultra-orthodox Jews and these people at this time. And these people, I said, where are the Pharisees? He says that sect is no more. But ladies and gentlemen, the spirit of the Pharisee is the spirit of religion. That Jesus Christ said, woe unto you, hypocrite. You are neither hot nor cold. You don't have integrity. You are two different sides put together. Good and evil put together. Some nice ways and some other things put together. He says that I don't like it. The last day church has to overcome what? Religion. It has to overcome religion. So if you read verse 21, as I bring this message to an end, it says that he who overcomes, overcomes what? What is the problem? What is the challenge that we have? What is the issue that we have? Is it your own mentality about the way something should be done, or God's mentality? Is it your value system or God's value system? Because in this life right now, people value some things which they should not value. Because that is not where God values. This church, God went on to say that you people, you say you are rich, you are wealthy and all that, but you don't know that you are miserable, you are poor, and you are naked. Wonderful. So he was telling them, you people, you are living in deception. You are living in religion. You think you are rich, but in my sight, this is not riches. You think that you are wealthy, but in my sight, this is not wealth. You think that you are smart, you see, because you use human understanding and all that. But I look at you, I say, you are blind. You are blind to eternity. You are blind to the kingdom arrangement. You don't see the kingdom arrangement. Says, come to me and buy gold. Gold is talking about rulership. Buy from me the kingdom ways to rule, so that it will not be Laodicea men ruling, it will be Jesus ruling. So he said, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in and I'm going to break my word to you. I am going to dine with you. That is an imagery of eating the word of God. I'm going to eat with you. He didn't say, I'll come to you and give you breakthroughs. He said, when I come to you, I'm going to open your eyes. I'm going to give you a different mentality, a different value system. I'm going to let you cherish the things of my kingdom for which I died. Jesus is not against us becoming rich, but how we become rich is what he doesn't like. We should not become rich by the world's means. When you become rich in this world by the world's means, God looks at you and he says that you think you are rich, but in my sight you are poor. But when you use the kingdom ways to become rich, God looks at you. He says that yes, you have gold indeed. Because he who has the gold rules, if you don't know. In this geopolitical environment that God has put humanity, the person who has the money rules. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not just going after money the way unbelievers go after money. It is not just working the way unbelievers work to earn wages into your pocket and say that I am rich, I have cars, I have buildings, I have investments, I have all that. God can look at it and say that you never did this thing paying your tithe. You never did this thing giving to the poor. You never did this thing in the right way. You were cheating. You were defrauding people. Because you say you are rich, I look at you and say that you don't know. You are living in religion. You are living in deception. You are poor. Come and buy from me gold that you will be rich indeed. Come and buy from me white garments, not your own righteousness, not your own efforts, not your own ways, but the righteousness that comes by the cross, the righteousness that comes from God. It says, buy from me white garments that you will be clothed, that your nakedness does not show. Pursue his kingdom version of issues. Kingdom righteousness is what he is looking for. And he says in verse 21, he who overcomes, overcomes what? What is the battle of the last day church? What is it with the last day church? Deception. Just as it was in the beginning that our first parents, Adam and Eve, were deceived by the devil. In the last day, the same tree of knowledge of good and evil and tree of life, who is Jesus, has been placed before us. His ways. Because I told you in the beginning, he is the standard. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the target. He is the one that we should aspire to. Hallelujah. It is by him that our works shall be judged. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No other foundation can anybody lay that will make his works survive than the foundation of Jesus Christ. No other foundation. He is the foundation. He is the standard. He is the beginning of the creation of God. His ways should be our ways. These days, people, unbelievers, many people in the church who do not have the kingdom ways of Jesus, they follow many things like miracles, signs and wonders. Pastor, are you against signs and wonders? No, I'm not against signs and wonders. I'm only careful about signs and wonders because I know the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, they love signs and wonders more than anybody. They love power more than anybody. They believe in angels, spirits, demons. Their children were taught by them to cast out devils. Many times they came to Jesus. When Jesus was teaching, he says, put the teaching aside, show us a sign. Jesus says, I won't show you any sign. A sign I will show you is I'm going to the cross and I'm going to die like Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale. Sometimes they will come to him. Show us a sign. Show us something from heaven. Jesus says that this is the works of God that you should believe in the one that he sent. Believe in the word. Hallelujah. Because many people, their value system is wrong. Nothing to do with the word of God. They don't exalt the word of God. They think the word of God is just a preparatory something. The word of God is just the real ministry comes after the word of God. It is not so. Hallelujah. Our value system should change. Because sometimes we think that it is when we have the crowds that we are rich before God. But God says, no, you are living in deception. I don't look at things that way. Sometimes it becomes a competition of cars. Who has cars? Who has big cars? Who have more cars? Who have the latest cars? Says that you are living in deception. I don't look at things that way. I look at it from my kingdom perspective. God richly bless you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.